Good morning, good evening, and good afternoon all, and welcome to this fortnight's installment of the Ish Plus 6 podcast, the podcast series where you could discover your next favorite artist. On today's episode, I am joined by the one and only Kikoto. Kikoto is a London-based artist who, over the past few years, has been making a name for himself in the industry, dropping banger after banger, hit after hit, with popular tracks such as Plain Clo, Love in the Ends, and Kit Freestyle topping his Spotify. You will definitely need to make sure you keep an eye out for more. And please welcome Kikoto to the Ish Plus 6 podcast. Let's go. What's good, G? What's going on? What's good?
Yes, my brother, man. Thanks for having me, man.
No worries, man. Honestly, it's great to finally meet you, bro. It's honestly...
Hey, we rescheduled this like 10 times, but we made it here at the end time.
For all intents and purposes, life. Guys. Yeah, it's been something trying to schedule this interview, but we're here now and it's gas. Let's get it.
Amazing. Yeah.
Absolutely. For real. So yeah, how's it going, man? Tell us where you're coming to us from, all of that.
Mm-hmm. It's been good, man. It's been a busy week for me this week. Just patting in like the last few things before I put the tape out there. So the other day we shot the cover art for it. I'm a perfectionist, so I've just been going back and forth, just getting and refining the mix downs for the tracks. They're pretty much done, but I'm just being extra, adding little things here and there. But doing that, finalizing the website for the Mismaster. We're going to put the kits on sale this week. So just getting the last few things done for all of that and just running errands and doing little side missions like popping up to my friend's exhibition, all of that. But yeah, man, we're grateful.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Yeah, it sounds busy, honestly, because yeah, I know that you've had bear shoots these past couple of weeks, actually, now that I think about it. Oh, yeah, it's crazy.
This week alone, it's probably been like four shoots.
That's too much, man. I promise I'm not that devoted. I'm not that devoted, for real.
You know, I'm doing it with the mandem, so it helps, innit? It's like, we all delegate. Someone might be doing this, someone's doing that, so it makes it a lot easier. I can understand with you doing something like a podcast, it's kind of, you've got to do everything yourself, so it's like, yo, like, if I don't do this, this ain't getting done. It helps have a mandem that you can kind of bounce off with each other. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, I get you, man. I get you, for real. Cool. So obviously, you know, you've seen every single episode before. You know that we always start off with a joke, and today's no different. Let's get it out of the way. Let's get it done. Let's just do it. All right.
God.
What do you call an army of toddlers?
If I did, like, I'm actually an idiot. Like, I've literally heard this from the other day. Wait, I forgot the answer. Wait, army of toddlers is called... How can I forget this, bro? How can I forget this? An army of toddlers. Yeah, I've forgotten.
Man, all right, it's called, and what do you call an army of toddlers? An infantry.
Battle. You literally said it the other day.
To be honest with you, I would have forgotten as well, unless I read it off of my notes right here. So it's calm.
You know, literally.
So, do you know what? I want to talk a little bit about the Kikoto origin story as well. I want to talk about how you started making music, how you landed on the name Kikoto as well. Just talk to us a little bit about how you got from where you started to where you are now.
So, name-wise, Kikoto is literally just like, it's actually my government name. So, before I started like making music, I kind of was like, if I ever do venture into something like this, I'd want to have something that I don't grow out of or feel like, oh, like, this name is a bit jarring. So I just always thought that doing this, it would make most sense to have something that I know I'm going to stick to, which my government name, I'm not really going to get out one day and be like, man, I don't like my name, that shit. So I was just like, cool. For me, I just wanted something that I knew was just longevity-wise that I can run with, never get bored of, never grow out of. Origin story, I started making music in 2018. Was doing some other stuff before that within like the creative field, but it wasn't until 2018 that I kind of took the step to say, all right, cool, I'm going to release music. I said I was in and around it, like just in the studio around my friends who make music, but I didn't really take that step until that year, 2018. And the thing that made me take that step was just being around them and just feeling like, nah, I can do this type shit. So I bought my own studio session, and from then it was just history.
Yeah, man, for real. Yeah, 2018 is when you started, but when did you start releasing though? Because I feel like it was a bit of a, was it a bit of a, you know, distance between when you started making and when you started releasing?
Yeah, I got the time a little bit wrong. So I actually started in 2017. So like August, summertime 2017. And the first track I released was summertime 2018. That's, yeah, timeline was a bit wrong. So 2017 is when I first started. 2018 was when the first track, Rick Owens, was released.
Yeah.
So it was about 6-7 month period of time of like making music, scrapping it, making demos, finding my sound, and then that first track was released in 2018.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Yeah, so yeah, of course, because finding your sound is so important as an artist as well. It's like, yeah. Well, I want to talk a little bit about a sort of period of time in your artistic development where it seemed that you were on the fence between deciding between pursuing football as a career and music as a career. So I know that you sort of had to decide between the two at a certain point. Can you tell us how you went about making that decision and how you ended up landing on music?
So football's what I just done like my whole entire life. Like anyone who knows me personally knows, like I play football. So I was getting brought up until I was about like 16, 17. And then it wasn't, yeah, the way it seems, like it seems as if it was like just from football straight to music. It wasn't that. It was definitely like a whole whirlwind of things going on before it was that. But I was doing YouTube before I started making music. So I was doing that kind of just behind the cameras, doing that whole thing. And then I got into music. So the gap between me stopping football and starting music was probably about a 2-year period. But like I was saying, in that 2 years, it's just a whole load of like life experience and just different stuff, meeting different people that when I was ready to make music, it was just perfect timing. Like,
absolutely, man. Absolutely.
It was like, it was a 2-year, yeah, literally like a 2-year period where I was just doing different things. Football, I was kind of done with it, but I still play football, which I do still play now. It's always going to be like a hobby. But there's like a 2-year period where I weren't playing football. I was doing YouTube, then stopped that. And I was kind of just in the studio around my friends, just who were making music at the time. And then I just felt like, yo, like I could do this myself. So yeah, to answer that question, it definitely wasn't one thing where it was like, I was on the fence and I was like, I've got to do football or YouTube. I've got to do football or music. It was definitely a gradual thing. It wasn't just like on the fence yet.
Yeah, man, absolutely. I suppose if you were to have, on the flip side, if you were to have pursued music as, or sorry, football as a main thing, would you have ever seen yourself going into music a bit later on, or would it have just been football as the main focus? Because with a lot of people, you know, they always end up getting drawn to that main thing that they had in the back of their head, no matter which direction they go.
You know what? I would say, yeah, if I was to take football seriously. Because now it's like football's a different time. You've got like footballers like Memphis Depay and making songs and that. I feel like I probably would have been them footballers who think they could do music as well. Like I'm a very like big personality. So if I was to go down the football route, I wouldn't just be, I couldn't see myself just being a footballer who's just like a footballer. I'd still be me as well, innit, type shit. So I feel like, yeah, potentially if I was to go down that route, who knows? Yeah. Well, like, potentially, yeah, I still ended up making music as well. Like.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Because, yeah, there are a lot of sports people out there who, you know, make music. Like, I'm pretty sure Muhammad Ali has a Grammy and John Cena as well. So, yeah.
I hear it, bro.
Yeah, exactly. John Cena's a rapper as well. Like, he actually is. It's crazy.
I can't see me.
Exactly, man. It's crazy. But, it's mad, bro. Okay, so I know that, so obviously we've talked about the whole football thing. It's integrated within certain bars in your music as well. I know you had an entire EP that was sort of thematically surrounding football.
Literally.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about mismatched clothing, something that is, okay, I don't want to spoil it and I don't want to put words into your mouth. So I'll let you do the talking here about mismatched. Talk to me about it.
So mismatch is literally like this creative umbrella. Like a lot of people see it, and obviously because the first one we've came up with is clothes, a lot of people see it as a brand, but it's really more so an umbrella whereby I just put out my creative project. So it might be music. All the music I put out today is licensed under mismatch. It might be clothing, it might be events. For me, it's just a place. I'll just throw ideas at the wall, see what sticks. Link up with the man them, like cook up some cool stuff and then just put it out through mismatch. Or yeah, for me it's just like a creative umbrella where all of my creative ideas go through whichever
Absolutely.
like thing that takes. Yeah.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Do you see Mismath sort of branching out a little bit later on, maybe having like I don't know, maybe even having like its own football team or that kind of thing? Or is it like
Oh, that would actually be sick. Like the whole, though, do you know what? The whole inspo behind like the Mismath FC like kits and idea of that. Yeah, like I was watching. This might be before your time. I don't know if you've watched it, but Renford Rejects.
Renford
Everybody watch this.
Rejects.
Go do your homework on Renford Rejects. It used to come on like Nickelodeon, like early 2000s. Like, and it was just like the shoddy Sunday league team. It was horrible. But somehow they'd always like win their games and that. Actually,
Yeah.
they'd win some and lose some, but that kind of gave me the inspiration for Mismatch FC. I just wanted it to be the shoddy Sunday league team. Like the players are unserious, the manager's unserious, everyone's unserious. But they've got a wavy kit and they somehow come together and just smack teams up. So it's like
Yo,
that was kind of
facts.
the idea for the theme of Mismatch FC. Yeah, to go into detail on that though, the Mismatch FC thing, that's kind of like a collection. So every year, regardless of what comes out, you're gonna get a Mismatch FC line. So that'll be kits, sportswear, more like functional wear stuff for that stuff.
That's crazy, man, for real. And yeah, to be fair, those shows, fam, they'd always win through like plot armor or the power of
Don't
friendship or whatever. Like, it was crazy.
bro. That's literally it, bro. No skills, no nothing. They're just beating teams off the back of friendship. I'm like, yeah, I'm here for it, man.
Yeah,
I'm
man,
here for it.
100%. But honestly, though, I'm not gonna lie, I'm kind of gassed to see where this Mismath FC thing goes because I can see like the UK underground scene coming together for like, I don't know, some charity football match or something.
Oh, I can't lie. I really, really want to do that. I'm saying to the man, I'm like, yo, like next year would be so sick to have like a Mismath FC team in the basement cup. God, bro, I feel like we're doing it. I'm
Exactly,
tooting my
man.
horn here right now, but I genuinely feel like we're doing it, bro.
It would be gas, bro. And then you have like,
Obviously.
oh, bro, you have all of these artists in the UK underground scene that could come together. All of these creatives as well, not even just artists, like just faces that you see floating around on Instagram all the time, just showing up like a Sidemen kind of football match kind of thing.
That was
You know what I'm
yesterday as
saying?
well, wasn't it, bud?
It was, bro. And I, pardon?
Did you go to the
Nah.
game?
But you know what? I basically saw the entire thing on TikTok anyways, because
As you
it's
do.
yeah, exactly. I saw it literally every single goal as it was happening while I was just scrolling. It was long for me, bro.
Bro,
But
it's funny
yeah.
seeing the Americans play because like they don't even know the offside rule and that. Like they're just doing anything, bro.
This guy Gideon tried fully reached down and tried to grab the ball. I was shook looking at that. I was like,
He's
what is
taking
this
the
guy
ball.
doing? Did you watch it yourself or was it just
I didn't watch it, but I just caught a couple of clips on TikTok. I seen whose goal? Castanet's goal. This goal's offside.
Yeah,
I
but it
just
was
saw
a
Flynn
sick
in the
goal, though,
corner.
wasn't it?
I can't lie, he banged it, but bro, that was off. Like, I don't think there was a single defender in their half. This guy's just there
Exactly.
goal hanging, bro. Like,
It was long, bro. But
bro.
nah, it looked gas at some points. But I'm just not big on this new generation of, loud streamers that just be screaming at the camera every single video or every single stream. It's just
What do you not like speed and that? Like
well,
actual speed.
that guy, I swear. How old is he? He's like 18, 19 or something, but
Stop that.
he acts like a 14-year-old kid, bro. It's just like, don't get me wrong, he's getting the bag and I have to respect it because he's worth more than me currently. Hopefully not more than I'll ever be, but yeah, like he touch wood. But yeah, like he's just a loud guy, and I can understand the appeal for people who are younger than, us. So
Yeah.
yeah.
I feel like to use they find that shit funny. And I get it. I feel like when we was in like year 10 and that, that's how we probably looked at KSI.
Yo,
I feel
facts.
Like people older than KSI was probably like, what is this guy on? But to us, it's the funniest shit ever.
Exactly, bro. Bro was fully doing up African parent cosplay for his entire career up until he was like 25. It was
mad, like,
it was crazy. Honestly, cool. And he still does it sometimes as well. So
bro, some of the jokes that this guy got away with back then, it's like, yo, we're gonna speak on that, but yeah, man.
Exactly. Crazy. Man. Yeah, nah. All right, so I want to talk a little bit about a semi-recent show that you did abroad in Amsterdam in the Netherlands. Yes. Pretty different to the standard underground stuff that goes down in London, I'd imagine. I want to talk a little bit about that. I don't necessarily have any specific questions. Just give me the rundown. Talk to me about how it went.
Oh, probably one of the sickest experiences. Like, I feel like doing shows and that in those kind of environments, like, sometimes I always gotta remind myself, like, it's a new space. Because obviously, like you're saying, in London Underground, like, we know what it is. Like, if we're doing a show, it's mosh pits, it's gas, it's jumping, like, it's like, yeah, it's gas. But for like doing a set in that kind of environment, it's kind of lit because everyone's not, they're vibing. Like, at first sight, you might think like people aren't vibing because they're just like bobbing their head and dancing and that. But yeah, like, it's sick to see, like, to test out the sounds in a new environment because it's like people aren't mosh pitting and doing what we used to do, but they're still kind of like hearing the music, you know what I'm saying? And it's obviously a whole different language to what they speak, like, but to see the response out there was sick. And to test out specific sounds, like I played Love and the Ends out there, which I felt like would fit their environment. I know they're big into like techno, electronic and that kind of stuff, which I'm not really too into, but I guess it was kind of like meeting them in the middle, finding a balance between something that we can mess with and something that they can kind of vibe to. But yeah, overall experience was 10 out of 10, man. I like how they're receptive to music. They might not know who you are, but they're kind of just listening to the sounds and that. Whereas I feel like here we're a bit spoiled. You can go out to a show and be like, oh, who's on? Oh, I don't know. No one on the lineup yet. Bun it then. Whereas that your favorite, your future favorite artist could be on that lineup type shit. You know what I'm saying? So I like how receptive they were to, not receptive even, just more like just open and just like, oh, let me hear this out type shit.
Yeah, man.
I definitely recommend anyone go out there and experience it. It's sick.
Yeah, man, for real. And yeah, it's so important. So that's actually an interesting point you raised, because it is so important to, I guess, research the culture of the place you're going to do a show. Just simply to base what your lineup or what your set list will be.
Definitely.
If that makes sense. Because, like, you can't go to, I don't know, Ibiza expecting to do just all of your chill songs. Like, you need to liven up the place.
Exactly. No, it's definitely a thing of reading the room. I've been doing it in London as well, man. Like, if I know, I'll look at the lineups that I'm on and I'm like, okay, realistically, the turnout is going to be looking like this.
Yeah.
There's no point performing these type of songs if I know it's just going to be gallon in the thing, or vice versa, it's gonna just be straight and random. Like, I guess it just comes down to like reading the room, I guess. Like, yeah,
facts, man. Yeah, yeah, no, it's quick. Yeah, because in London, people, you will know if you're
if they're feeding your shit or not, bro.
Facts. It's peak, man. These underground shows in London where it's only like 200 people there or whatever in the pit, it's like, bro, I'd be stood at the back sometimes just watching all of this going down, and I'd be looking, and bro, the way some people just don't move a muscle when certain people come on.
I've had moments where I've literally said to the mic, like, you lot aren't here to listen to music, you may as well just cut, because bro, like, man, I'm standing here looking too cool for school. Like, I've never understood that in London, like, people leaving their yard to go to shows to just stand at the back and just be cool, like.
Exactly, yeah. I don't understand that. To be fair, I will be real. I have done that once before, but...
We've all been there, innit?
Yeah, like, exactly.
I'll
be honest, my reason was because my shoes were not moshing shoes. Like, I saw people that... They were getting violent, bro.
I hear that still.
Yeah.
I went to Wireless this year, and I was wearing Cortez 95s, and I didn't. I think I entered one mosh pit. I literally did the mosh pit, and I was like, yeah. Not going back in, but... So sometimes, to be fair, I do hear it. I got rich at that statement.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Now, honestly, bro, I fully support the statement, because I hate turning around, like, glancing back, seeing what's going on, and it's just 20 guys at the back looking like the Three Stooges. Like, it's just...
No, okay. let me rephrase a statement. If you genuinely ain't really feeling the vibe of the song or what's going on at the time, I hear it. You ain't got to be fit. But if you actually like the music that is playing and you've left your house to hear that music and the songs are playing now and you're standing on the wall, you're a Muppet, man.
Yeah, man. If you go specifically to, like, let's say, I don't know, let's say your favorite artist comes to do a show in the UK in London, and you go to that show, and you know who it was going to be, them that was there, and the opener came on and left, and the favorite artist comes on to set onto stage, and you're still stood at the back just chilling, just looking bored or whatever. Like, come on, man. Yeah.
Yeah, no more shit, bro. Nah. We're all laughing. There's a lot of that.
What pit was it where you actually jumped in Wireless? Which one was it?
In Wireless, what was it again? What was it? I think it was a Lucky. Lucky was on the +44 stage. So basically, I missed Friday, which was like this year.
Everybody knew so like, peak, that lineup. Man. That's so peak. How did you miss Friday? Why did you miss it?
Do you know what it is? I didn't even buy no tickets for Wireless this year. And then the Saturday came and my boy was like, yo, I got extra ticket. What are you doing? I was like, I'm actually not doing anything. I may as well just pop out. There was a few people, like Lucky was in the +44 stage, Travis Scott was there. I'm trying to think of artists I actually listened to that was out that day. Lucky and Travis Scott, from what I can remember. But the mosh pit I was in, I think it was a Lucky mosh pit.
Yeah.
I can't remember what we was mosh pitting to, fam.
But yeah. Lucky is dangerous as well. Lucky and Travis Scott, bro. The way these Travis Brits Scott, mess man. With Travis Scott is dangerous.
You already know. Yeah. Already know what to expect when Travis Scott shows like.
Yeah,
no, fully, man.
But yeah, Friday was a madness, bro. I was there on.
You go on the Friday.
Yeah, I went on the Friday. It was one of the most. It was one of the most riotous experiences I've ever had in my entire life. I was there, bro, right from the beginning of Destroy Lonely, all the way up until play. I was looking around like, how do these people still have energy, fam? I looked to my left, bro. There was like a gap. I looked down. There was this guy that was like 4 foot nothing, just stood there. I was like, bro. He was just looking up at me with like these puppy dog scared eyes. I was like, bro,
are you like, bro, I don't know what I'm doing here either, fam. I'm telling you.
Exactly. I was like, where is it? Why is there so much space next to me? I look down, it's just this tiny little guy. But yeah, it was, bro, 5 minutes later, he was nowhere to be seen. I don't know where he went. I don't know if he made it out alive, but yeah, it was crazy.
That's scary, brother. Hold on, if I'm that high, I'm not doing mosh pits.
I'm not showing up to Wireless, period. People are gonna chuck me around like I'm one of them beach balls or something. You know what I'm saying?
Bro, I'm 6 foot something, yeah. And I'm a skinny nigga, yeah. I can just about hold myself up in a mosh pit, bro. I'd be scared sometimes, man. When I was younger, I used to love mosh pits, but I'm getting to the age here where I'm just like, yo, I've got one mosh pit in me when I'm stepping to them places, and that's it. The rest of the time, I'm just enjoy the music and just chill, like, type shit. But
exactly, man. Yeah. Actually,
mosh pit, I'm cool, man. I'm cool. We'll leave it for the actual shows, like.
It's a certain demographic that loves it a lot more than everyone else, fam. And they're violent. They're violent. It's like, I don't know. It's like they're trying to tell us something. You know what I'm saying?
And microaggressions,
bro. Facts, man. But, yeah. Okay, so we talked about the show in the Netherlands. What was the Netherlands like, though, just in general? Because I don't know how many days you were there for or, you know, what you were up to there aside from the show. Talk to me a little bit about that.
So we was there for 4 days. Like, the show was on the second day. So first day, we kind of just rolled around, got acquainted, do what you do, and that's what I'm saying. Second day was the show. Done the show now. We didn't even do no after parties or anything after the show. We just went back to the hotel, reminded them of that. Third day, we were just out and about. And then fourth day, we kind of just chilled. But the vibes in Amsterdam is proper chill. Like, I feel like everyone's a bit mad there, but it's cool. Like, genuinely, like, bro, everyone's just, like, on their own thing. Like, see in London, like, I don't know, you can be on the train, like, it's... Everyone's just avoiding eye contact. Like, if somebody slightly sticks out, everyone will notice it. Bro, I'm on the tram in Amsterdam. There's some rasta guy just sitting at the back. He's not barking, he's just got there. And I'm just like, If this was in London, like, everyone would be staring at this guy. That was just one example, but it's like so many examples of stuff like that. Like, people just don't really care, bro. Like, London, I feel like people care too much about shit. I just don't even matter. Like, out there, like, everyone's just living freely, just doing their thing. Like stiff. And it's like, that was my first time ever going to Dan. Like, so for me to experience it like that, it was just lit, man. I couldn't have had a better first time there, I feel like.
100%, yeah, man. Honestly, facts. And yeah, to be fair, I feel like in London, people definitely care, but it's not necessarily like they'll go up to you and be like, bro, what's going on? They'll like side-eye you, you know? And then they'll like, yeah, exactly. Everyone will side-eye and all of that. And bro, but the thing is, in London, there were so many different types of people. And I did have a question a bit later on for that, actually, because do you know what? Actually, it was literally my next question. After this one. After this one, do you have any countries or places that you are just waiting on an invitation to right now?
100%. So, not an invitation, but more so just like a reason to go. So, like, Marseille, I most definitely got to go there, tapping my peoples out there to hold me, you know what I'm saying? Holding them out there. Just like Paris in general. I've been to Paris, but I was young when I went, so I didn't really get to experience it fully. Paris definitely got to go. Like, America, obvious. New York, most definitely. Other places, like, you know what I'm saying, like Miami, LA. I feel like they'd be like sick places to like go work out, make some music out there, just tap in with different people. Where else am I thinking? Where else? Africa. I mean, I've been bad times. Been Gambia, since I've got bad times. So other places in Africa I want to go to. Boy recently came back from South Africa and it just looked mad lit out there. Ghana, I've heard, is amazing as well. Like, I got so many spots, man. I'll be honest, like, but off the top of my head, like, places that I want to go, like, ASAP, like, France, New York. I want to go back to Amsterdam. Yeah.
Thanks, man. Yeah, Amsterdam is the place for real.
Oh, man, you should go, man, if you got a chance. Honestly, bro.
I'm there at some point. At some point, I'll be there, but...
100.
Yeah, man. Cool. So, my next question. I know that you've got a pretty interesting relationship with TFL. For those outside of London, that's Transport for London. So yeah, I know that you got a pretty interesting relationship with them. Obviously, the London Underground has an array of different types of characters on it. I want to talk a little bit about some of the most interesting types you've seen. I guess let's talk a little bit about that.
But when it comes to TFL, yeah, like, if you're not from London and you are getting on the TFL, I say just enter that chamber with an open mind, because you don't know what you're going to see. Like, and it's weird. Like, for me, every time I've seen some craziness on the TFL, it's always on a day where it's like 8 a.m. in the morning, it's hot. I'm too hot and bothered to even pay attention to what's going on around me. I'm just trying to get to A and B. I'm trying to get from A to B. And I look up and I just see some madness. And I'm just like, why did I just see that? I'm talking about, like, I've seen people like pissing on the trains. Like, but my boy said he's seen somebody do crack on the train. Like,
that's insane. That's like, actually insane.
What are you doing, bro? Like, genuinely, you see anything on the TFL, man. Like, off the top of my head, I couldn't even think of. That crack story, I didn't witness that, but boy, that's the craziest thing I've heard. But yeah, on the underground, bro, like, you'll see anything, man. I feel like London Underground's like a slightly hinged. It's like the New York subway, man. Like, you see them videos that you see,
yeah,
madness is going on, like, so much going on in one video. Someone doing a backflip, someone fighting there. It's like that, man. Honestly.
Whenever I see some video of something going on crazy in America, it's always from one of like four places. It's always from one of four places. It's either Atlanta, LA, Florida, or New York. It's always one of those four.
It's like the trifecta of unhinged people, fam.
Facts. And it's just crazy, because literally Florida is crazy as well, because with Florida, it's more, you'll just read about the stuff like, Florida man did this, Florida woman did this. Florida man is one of the craziest and most iconic internet characters, man, I've ever seen in my life.
Florida man, I need to find this guy, bro, because every time there's a mazzoline going on, Florida man has done it. Florida man has done everything, bro. Oh. Let's meet this guy, fam.
I'm telling you, but that Florida won't be seeing me though, because it's best believe it won't be seeing me.
Wait, Miami's in Florida, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It is, yeah.
I was about to say something so stupid. Let me just shut up.
I was gonna say, because yeah, I swear you said that you wanted to do a show in Miami a little while ago. So it's just like,
I was about to say, Florida's never seen me, but Miami is. Yeah, all right, mate.
We're about to get comments. We're about to get bad comments like, ah, this guy thinks that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah.
This nigga dumb.
But yeah, Florida is just a crazy ass place, fam. New York as well. It's just, there's always something going on there. And
it's always not facts.
But in London, literally, it's the kind of stuff that you that would make you question whether you're dreaming or not. Like, you'll see a guy dressed in like a horse outfit juggling oranges or something in the corner and just be, you know, that's London, I guess.
What's going on, bro? Like I'm saying, it'll always be at stupid times, like 8 a.m. I've woken up an hour before, so I'm slightly, even just in a daze. I'm seeing this looking like, am I dreaming right now, fam? Like, nah.
It's dumb, honestly,
London Underground, like I said, when you're going on that train, if you're not from London, just step on there with an open mind. Like, you can have a farm trip where there's no one on the train, it's empty, you get from A to B, or you could be on the train witnessing a mazzoline, bruv. Like, there's no in between, fam.
It's absolutely insane, yeah. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about your next tape planned for release this year. In the meantime, that's the name that I have seen on like floating around on socials. I want to talk a little bit about the themes that you'll be exploring on it, and also how that name came about, and yeah, just go into a bit of detail about that. Talk to me about it.
We'll start off with the name. The name, in the meantime, like, usually I'd have the name of the tape before. This time I didn't. So there was a long period of time where I didn't have the name of the tape. I just had a collection of songs that I was cooking up from, say, like winter last year up until like mid this year. And I was like, look, these are a vibe that I want to put out whilst I'm working on the next tape. So it was almost like a placeholder, just like a little mixtape, innit? And I was just going to kind of put it out and then just move on to the next thing. But I was like, let me kind of explore this deeper. And then I came across the name in the meantime, and I was like, it kind of fits what we're doing now. We're literally putting these out as a placeholder so you can hear these collection of songs that we've been cooking up in the meantime whilst we work on the next team. So that's where the name came from. Themes is kind of just really exploring where I'm at right now. I feel like always kind of working on the next thing, always kind of rushing to get to the next thing. So we're always kind of in the meantime, always doing what we can do now so we can just get to the next level, get to the next phase or whatever in life. So yeah, we kind of always like miss like what's going on now. So for me, it's kind of just really delving in. What does in the meantime look like? Like, what am I doing in the meantime? What are the man them doing in the meantime? What are the spaces that we're in? What are we wearing? What does it look like? What does it feel like? Yeah, for me, that's kind of the whole vibes of the tape pretty much.
I know that your recent track, actually Kit Freestyle, is your most recent drop as of recording this. Is that going to be on the tape, or is it just a one-off kind of thing?
So Kit Freestyle is just a single by itself. For a second I was going to put on the tape, but I just felt like it didn't kind of fit the other vibes that was on it, so I was like, let me put this out as a single. But yeah, no, I love that one, honestly. It's crazy because that's the first song that I've put out with my boy Manny since 2021. An official release, which was the Hat Trick tape. So it's kind of good to just lock back in with Manny, get that style and sound back out there as well. Like, yeah, man.
100%, man. I want to talk a little bit about what more we can expect from Kikoto for the rest of the year. So I know that you mentioned two tapes, not just the one in the past. I want to talk about the possibility of that still being the case, and if, you know, well, let's hear it from you.
So for the end of the year, for me, it's really just dropping a lot of singles. There's a whole lot of like backlog of singles that after like sitting out in the studio and just listening through them, I'm like, I don't know why these aren't out. So definitely that, a whole load of singles to get released. I want to say a deluxe of the In The Meantime tape. I've got some songs that didn't quite make the cut for the actual In The Meantime, but they were created around the same time and actually fit the the vibe of the tape. I just didn't want to make it too jam-packed. So we went with 9 songs for the actual tape and then an additional 4. I'm going to say yes. So in the meantime, Deluxe, a whole load of singles, and I don't want to promise anything, but potentially a collab tape if shit works out. I don't even want to say who with, but a collab tape could be on the cards if the tracks are there and made. It's kind of just a thing of us really rolling it out and just getting that out there. But yeah, a whole load of music. One mismatch drop this year, as in with 2-3 products. One mismatch drop with 3 products and a whole load of music going into next year to summarize all of that.
100%. Yeah. That's a busy man, honestly. That's crazy. That's crazy. But yeah, and 4 extra tracks as well as the on top of the 9. That's basically 2 tapes as a whole, if we're being real.
Basically, yeah. I felt like I was originally going to put all of those songs on the tape, but we was kind of just refining it down and looking at it, and I was like, this is a bit jam-packed. If somebody doesn't know me and this is their first time hearing me, it might be a bit too much to digest to just hear 14 tracks off the bat. So I was like, let's do 9 tracks at the start. We'll put out some singles around the thing around the same time as it, and then we'll do a deluxe in it. That way it's a lot more digestible. You'll have the tracks that people already are familiar with on it. They like it. And then as well as that, there'll be some new tracks that they can kind of hear out.
Stuff. Yeah, 100%, man. Cool. I do have just one more question before I let you go on your way. And this is a question that I ask literally everyone on the podcast. Mm-hmm. And today's no different. So let's go with it. You are heard by everyone on earth for 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. What do you say?
Last time we asked this, I had a different answer. Same lines, but it'll be a lot more thing. For 10 seconds.
Yeah.
I was. Do what makes you happy. It's noise. It's going to come across cliche because, bro, we got 10 seconds to beat the whole world. But I'll say, yeah, honestly, do what makes you happy, bruv. Don't worry about what the next person is thinking. As long as what makes you happy ain't affecting anyone negatively. I'll keep your first, drink water, eat your fruits. yeah, man, nothing too crazy, man.
Fairs, man. Bro, went with the PG version this time around.
This version was a lot more PG. The last time I was just screaming craziness, bro. Yeah.
It's calm, man. Honestly, it's calm. If you're being true to yourself, then, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, nah, I mess with that for real. Being true to yourself and eating food. Eating food is important in this day and age, especially. People forget to do that.
Obviously.
So yeah, bro, man. Cool. Do you know what? I think that is a good place to close off this episode.
You got it done.
We got it done. We made it, guys.
We made it, man. We did it.
So yeah, listeners of the Ish Plus 6 podcast, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you all go check out Kikoto's most recent track, Kit Freestyle, available on all platforms. Kiko, do you have anything else you'd like to add before we close off?
One more thing.
Yes, sir.
Find your child, man.
1,000,000%, man. 1,000,000%.
Let's go.
Come on.
Good luck for having me on.
Pardon?
I said, big love for having me on, man.
Oh, well, honestly, it's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure all the times that I've had you. But yeah, no, it's been good. It's been good. I've enjoyed it, for real. It's been a pleasure. And yeah, I look forward to the sequel or the
Hondo, man.
Prequel, the quequel, whatever it is, yeah. But yeah, listeners, thank you all for listening. Thank you all for watching. Make sure you go check out Kiko on all platforms. Keep it real, and I will see you later, alligators.